Some people, he said, really know how to have a good time. Even the first time that I heard Arthur LeCompte employ this phrase, I already had the faint impression that it functioned for him as a slogan. There was a radio announcer reverb to his voice as he pronounced it. We exchanged names and shook hands over the fact that we were both named Arthur. Meeting a namesake is one of the most delicate and most brief of surprises. But they call me Art, I said. They call me Arthur, he said. I hadn't a doubt that he was gay, that he was taking advantage of our having crossed paths to make good his short initial attempt in the library, and that he probably supposed that I was as homosexual as he. People made this mistake. Which way were you going, anyway, before you ran into Jules and Jim back there? He said. Jules and Larry, I said. I have to have a dinner with a friend. My old girlfriend. I hit it off hard at the girl and spat it at him. He came back at me, extending his hand, and we shook for the second time. Well, he said, I work in the library. Acquisitions. I'd be glad if you'd stop by. He spoke stiffly, with an odd courtesy. Sure, I said. I thought momentarily of Claire and the dinner she might be preparing for me, if only I hadn't invented it, and if only the mere sight of me didn't make her stomach collapse in distress. What time are you supposed to be at your friend's? Arthur asked, as though we had not shaken hands at all and I were not yet free. 8:30, I lied. Does she live very far from here? Near Carnegie Mellon. Ah, well, it's hardly 8 o'clock. Why don't we have a beer? She won't care. She's your old girlfriend, anyway. His emphasis lay on the syllable before girl. I had to choose between drinking with a fag and saying something inexpert, such as, 8:15, or, well, gee, I don't know. He made me afraid of seeming clumsy or dull. It was not as though I had any firm or fearful objections to homosexuals. In certain books by gay writers, I thought I had appreciated the weight and secret tremble of their thoughts, and I admired their fine clothes and shrill hard wit, their weapon. It was only that I felt keen to avoid, as they say, a misunderstanding. And yet, just that morning, while watching a procession of scar-faced, big-breasted, red-wrapped, laughing African girls tap dance down Ward Street, hadn't I for the 50th time berated myself for my failure to encounter, to risk, to land myself in novel and incomprehensible situations, to misunderstand, in fact. And so, with a fatalistic shrug, I went to drink one beer.